League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again! And Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
Is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
The first hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by Texas Children's Hospital. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome into Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Let's get things rolling here tonight, fresh off the Blitz with Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman. We got a lot to talk about here tonight. So throughout the night, 713-780-3776 is the number. Welcome in. Boy, we do have a lot to sink our teeth into. The platform tonight always is your 713-780-3776, streaming at ESPN975.com. What is on your soccer mind tonight? And I'm going to start you off tonight. Here is the question of the night. Who is the player, more than any other, that you would want to watch when you were growing up? That's the question of the night. 713-780-3776. Who is the player, more than any other, you wanted to watch when you were growing up? 713-780-3776. For me, it was Johan Cruyff of the Netherlands, and we had the opportunity to catch him also in the North American Soccer League. 713-780-3776, streaming at ESPN975.com. We are on Facebook Live on Soccer Matters, and hopefully we can get the station putting that up as well, Tyler, hopefully. MLS Decision Day is next weekend. It is the final weekend of Major League Soccer. There are some real storylines there. I'll talk about that. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about my trip down to do the national broadcast for ESPN with Brian Dunseth in Atlanta. It was my first taste of Atlanta as a soccer market. Of course, I've watched it on television. We all know that Atlanta is in the top 20 in the world for average attendance at home games, 53,000. That in itself is pretty remarkable. So we'll talk about that experience down there. We'll talk about Atlanta United and all the things that swirl around a big club. Guest tonight on the show, Becky Sauerbrunn. We'll hear from her in the first hour of the U.S. Women's National Team. Now, I've got ultimate respect for her. What a consistent pro Becky Sauerbrunn has been for the United States as a center back. The U.S. have qualified for the World Cup in France next summer. They did it in dominant fashion. We'll talk to Becky tonight. Looking really much forward to that interview. Dario Sala, Atlanta United assistant coach, played for River Plate, played 100 times for FC Dallas, our rivals here in Houston. He's going to take us inside Atlanta United. He's going to give us a bigger glimpse into what Tata Martino is all about. Because Tata Martino and Atlanta, you know, the easy line is to just say, well, they have more money and that's why they're good. It's a lot more than that. It is a lot more than that. He has made players better. So we will talk to Dario Sala. Carl Dukes, 929, the game in Atlanta. He will also be on the show. And Aaron Long of the New York Red Bulls. Right now, I, too, would like to hear from you at 713-780-3776. Who is the player, more than any other, you would want to watch growing up? Couple of callers were just there. We lost them. Call back. I want to know who it is. For me, it was Johan Cruyff. 713-780-3776. So a good night here. We're going to have some real Dynamo talk with Eddie Robinson as well. I mentioned Aaron Long. We won't have him on the show tonight. Unfortunately, we couldn't get him on this evening. We did have him on the last show, and he did debut. We can also talk about the United States-Peru match. Ends 1-1 draw. A couple of players that I think stock raised. Reggie Cannon, the right back for FC Dallas. Thought he played very well. One to keep an eye on in the future. Kellen Acosta. Still love this guy's verve. Very much thought he did well. Tim Weah is another one to keep an eye on. And Aaron Long, who, remember last week when we talked to Aaron Long of the New York Red Bulls, who, by the way, could win the Supporters' Shield as well. More on that in a bit. Aaron Long was hoping to get his debut, which he finally did get for the United States national team. Played very well against Peru. He's an MLS All-Star for the New York Red Bulls and a very differing story. All right, let's remind people the question of the night: who's the player more than any other you wanted to watch growing up? Tell me why. Mine was Johan Cruyff, just because of the way he would orchestrate and really run a game singularly. He would be a fulcrum. He would be a conductor. He would be an orchestrator. Incredible skill. He'd go from a standing position and explode over 3 or 4 yards and leave people in his wake. Let's go to the phone line tonight. Sal, who was that player that you would watch more than any other when you grew up?
Hey, Glenn.
Hi, Sal.
Yeah, how you doing? This is Sam.
Oh, Sam. I'm sorry, Sam. How are you?
I'm all right. How you doing, sir?
Come on, Trey. Get your game up. It's Sal on the board in here. It's Sam, and Sam is a big caller for us. Come on, Trey. Lift your game, baby. All right. So what's up, Sam?
I would want to watch a player from Germany, Franz Beckenbauer.
Ooh.
I want to see him play because he was part of that German team that dominated the world at that stage and won the World Cup, and also with Bayern Munich.
Well, that's funny.
You know, I want to, you know.
That's funny you say that, because that was the 74 World Cup final. It was West Germany, and it was basically pinned as Beckenbauer against Cruyff, and I picked Cruyff. So I guess I lost the World Cup final and you won because you picked Franz Beckenbauer.
Yeah, I want to watch him. I feel like I want to watch him again play because he, you know, was a great player, and I want to see him again on the pitch.
Libero, he translated that position into something new, because we remember him from a central defensive position, deepest on the field, joining in the attack from that area and actually running the ball out of there. So, pretty incredible.
He defined that position of a libero, you know, where you can do everything on the field. You know, you attack, you defend, you distribute, you do everything. And so he defined that position. So yeah. I wish I want to watch him play again, you know, but he's old. But, you know, well, I have high respect for Beckenbauer.
You can Google it and go back and watch his brilliance. I had the opportunity to do it at Giants Stadium when he was on the Cosmos. Sam, thank you very much. We're going to get you back on the show real soon. Thank you for the call tonight.
All right. Appreciate that, Glenn.
All right. That's Sam. He's a wonderful guy, and we're going to talk more. We're going to get him in studio again. Let's go to La Raza. La Raza, what's on your mind tonight?
Senor Glenn, good evening, sir. How you doing?
I'm very good. Do you want to do this interview in Spanish, or you want to keep it in English?
No, sir. With La Raza. Keep it simple. I'll make it quick. I have to go back to work.
You got it.
You were talking about watching the player growing up. I think I was born here in the United States, obviously. But one player that caught my eye a lot was Jorge Campos. He was such a good defender. I remember seeing him growing up. It's just like that's what made me want to play defense. And honestly, I wanted to be a goalie because of him. But he was he's the reason why I would watch the classic Mexico USA game.
Yes.
That's the reason I would watch.
Hey, what a personality.
I appreciate what you do.
What a personality he was, too, huh?
Oh, man, he was very colorful. I think his uniform represented his personality as well.
Well, remember what that uniform was? He was a surfer from, I believe, Acapulco, and he designed his own goalkeeping uniforms that made him stand out. But, you know, he wasn't a big guy in stature. He was quick, mobile. He had tremendous shot-stopping abilities, tremendous with his feet. And sometimes they'd even put him up front in Major League Soccer with the LA Galaxy. In one game, he played goalkeeper and as a striker and, I guess, flicked the ball, rainbowed a guy, flicked it over his head and picked it up on the other side of him. So, definitely a great personality, Jorge Campos. Always a friendly guy, too.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Yeah, thanks for that one. 713-780-3776. So we got Johan Cruyff, Franz Beckenbauer, and we got a great one there, Jorge Campos from La Raza, which we appreciated there. 713-780-3776. Who was a player that more than any other, when you were growing up, you wanted to watch play the game? That's a good one. So meanwhile, in D.C., and we're going to get Tyler Scott, producer extraordinaire, to just tee up a couple of goal calls here from Major League Soccer this weekend. Let's start with the unbelievable, and I mean unbelievable, at efforts that Wayne Rooney is bringing to D.C. United and Major League Soccer.
Acosta navigating, Solomon weaving, Acosta, oh, it's Rooney, it's in the net, it is in the net. Luke Giroux, Acosta to Rooney, and United leads. That was special.
That was special, and what Wayne Rooney is doing is special. I mean, look, 16 years old, kid's thrust right into professional soccer, Everton, goes to Manchester United, becomes a legend there, and has now come to the United States and has literally revived the whole franchise and has made the players around him better. He is a legit MVP candidate in Major League Soccer. Tell me if I'm wrong. 713-780-3776. Then we go to the LA Galaxy in Minnesota. Huge crowd there. They have to win to remain in contention. And guess what? The Lion delivers.
Felcher seeking some space. Ibrahimovic! It had to be him. It just had to be. Well, he's not going to silence the 50,000 here, but he's left his mark, as he so often does.
We've now seen Ola Kamara inside the 18, so now the center backs of Minnesota United, they're not dealing with just one, they're dealing with two. And the one guy you cannot leave open is the guy, Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Don't tell me that superstars don't deliver in the league. By the way, Zlatan Ibrahimovic has the number one selling jersey in the league. So Rooney and Zlatan are doing it in their markets. I mean, these guys deserve tremendous credit for the seriousness and effort that they have made. And DC United and LA deserve the big credit for bringing these players here to Major League Soccer. So all credit to them. Stars stepping up at the right time for their franchises. All right, let's go back to the question of the night. Who was the player that, more than any other, you wanted to watch growing up? I said Johan Cruyff. Sam has called in with Franz Beckenbauer. We've gotten Jorge Campos from La Raza. Nicholas, who was the player that, more than any other, you wanted to watch when growing up, Nicholas?
Oh, of course, man. Kenny Dalglish.
Oh, King Kenny. So are you Scottish?
No, sir. No, my family is actually from, London, in northern France, but my dad, he came over from London, and he was born there, but, you know, he was a big Liverpool fan, and that's the team I love. You know, I bleed Liverpool red. I mean, Wayne Rooney is a good player and all that, but he was just on the wrong side of Liverpool, man. He was over there with Everton, and I know it's not like our big rival. Our big rival is Man U. And a lot of people consider like Everton and Liverpool like a friendly derby, but it's just I can't stand Everton blue. That's just how it is, you know. Can't stand it.
Well, if there are any Everton fans out there that want to respond to Nicholas, you can. But King Kenny's a great one. Kenny Dalglish, and by the way, let's not forget Paul Dalglish came here to Houston. His mobility as a forward, Kenny Dalglish's son, helped the Dynamo win MLS Cup. Let's not forget that. Then. Paul Dalglish has done a lot of coaching since leaving the Houston Dynamo. So thanks to that call from Nicholas. Who was a player more than any other you wanted to watch growing up? That's a great one. Kenny Dalglish, Liverpool and Scotland. 713-780-3776 is a number to call in tonight. 713-780-3776. The first hour is brought to you by the Texas Children's Hospital. And just want to remind you, this is a very, very big weekend. So the Dynamo were down 3-2 by Seattle in their final home match. I'll take some thoughts on that. 713-780-3776. So the supporter shield is up for grabs between Atlanta United and the New York Red Bulls. Atlanta United, ironically, is going to go on the road to Toronto FC. Toronto FC and Atlanta United right now have 69 points, which is tied for the best ever season point-wise in Major League Soccer history. TFC is going to want to be the spoiler in that one. Atlanta United, with their 3 points over the Chicago Fire, tied with TFC. They are in control because they have a one-point lead over the New York Red Bulls, who are on 68. Now, the Red Bulls are going to play Orlando at home. The Red Bulls can jump to 71. They can set the record also for points in a season, depending on the TFC Atlanta United game. Let's not forget, the Red Bulls had a midseason managerial change with Jesse Marsh. Chris Armas has come in. They have not skipped a beat. It's been an unbelievable season for the New York Red Bulls. And it's the sum of all the parts. Now, look, if you look at the Red Bulls, great goalkeeping of Luis Robles. At the other end, you got a definitive goal scorer, clinical goal scorer with BWP. But you got a youthful, aggressive, pressing-type team. These teams are thriving. And by the way, when the New York Red Bulls play Atlanta United, they own them. And they beat Atlanta United without Bradley Wright Phillips and Tyler Adams. So, common sense would say the Red Bulls are going to get a win, which means Toronto FC is going to try to be spoilers against Atlanta United, who, by the way, as a big club, as big clubs do, as Marmonotis is getting attention here in Houston, as Elise and Kyoto have probably gotten attention for their goal-scoring exploits, their pace. Big clubs have players and managers that others want. And these are the decisions you have to make. Are the Dynamo going to retain that front three? If they don't retain that front three, is it almost a whole new remake? Because that wide game that is so defined by Kyoto and Elise around Minotas, that is the Dynamo playing style. I'm not sure what plan B is yet without those guys. It's been hard to figure that out because I think those guys are just so important to Wilmer Cabrera's team. So Atlanta United goes into this with Miguel Almiron possibly going to Europe. They've just signed Pity Martinez from River Plate, $17.2 million. Doesn't mean they have to sell Almiron. It means maybe he goes on loan. But he's the most likely candidate to be moved on because of their whole DP situation. They're getting ahead of it. And then they got Tata Martino, who is rumored to maybe take the Mexico job. So they're going into the playoffs with some serious stuff swirling around them. And as Brad Guzan, the goalkeeper for Atlanta United, U.S. national team goalkeeper, said, this is normal at clubs that are big and clubs that want to be big. And guess what? I say it's a feather in your cap if players are being courted by other teams, and that's a pro for the Dynamo. That's a good thing for the Dynamo. That means you're picking some good players. Now, the question is, how does this team become a better defending team in the offseason? How are they going to be able to compete in the CONCACAF Champions League? Who are they going to retain? These are all huge questions. It has been a struggle defensively. I mean, we can't put lipstick on a pig. They've given up 11 goals in the last three games. They give goals up by the boatload. Two of these goals off corners, totally preventable. Totally preventable. Go back and watch the tape. And I can break it down for you if you want. But we have to be realistic about how this team is going to be rebuilt because you're going to have international competition. Atlanta United now is going to have an international competition. And if the Dynamo lose Marmonotis, who is clearly the team MVP, let's not even have a debate about that. He's the MVP. We would have given it to Albert Elise before the All-Star game. He's clearly the most valuable player on this team. And in fact, Marmonotis has created chances for himself in games where Elise and Kyoto weren't there. And he didn't have the wide game support fully. He has had a remarkable year, and it is without question, there is no doubt that he is getting attention, and the Dynamo will tell you that he is, for the type of season he's had. He's been good in the penalty area, his movement, his mobility. He has grown his game. He just struts on the field with a confidence that shows an incredible, incredible maturity. So we've got a lot to talk about here tonight. We'll talk about another rumor coming out of Atlanta. But again, in the Dynamo game, the good was Marmonotis, 17th goal of the year. grown wonderfully in the striker role. The bad was the defending set pieces. And the Dynamo 8 wins out of 9 this year, they've had to score 3 goals. All right, let's take a break. As we take a break, we got to remind you about the Texas Children's Hospital. Texas Children's Cancer and Hematology Centers, they are the largest pediatric cancer center in the country. Over 190 physicians and scientists, 46 laboratories, and 200 active clinical trials. Now, you have to think about that when it comes to pediatric cancer. They are dedicated solely to childhood cancer and blood disorders. It's an amazing place. It's one of the shining stars here in Houston. Something that we put our hat on here in Houston is fighting pediatric cancer. For more than 60 years, Texas Children's Hospital, it's pioneered many of the now standard protocols for treating and curing childhood cancer. Texas Children's Hospital is a not-for-profit, relies on generous donations from our friends in the community. And by the way, don't forget, hundreds of children are diagnosed every year at TCH. It isn't a job, it's life for Texas Children's. And we will take a break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by U.S. Women's National Team defender. Right now, she is one of the all-time greats for the U.S. Becky Sauerbrunn is going to join us right around the corner here.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by Texas Children's Hospital. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Our big thanks to the Texas Children's Hospital. Every day we think about just knocking out childhood cancer and pediatric cancer problems, and they do it down at Texas Children's Hospital. Okay, the Patients Award goes to a very patient and composed U.S. Women's National Team defender, Becky Sauerbrunn, joining us now. Becky, thank you so much for being very, very patient there and sitting through all those commercials.
No problem.
Yeah, I was sitting here listening to the commercials, and I was going, I wonder what Becky's thinking about this. So our question of the night, Becky, and by the way, the U.S. Women's National Team, we all saw it in dominating fashion, will be going to France. They dominate CONCACAF. So our question of the night was, who is the player more than any other when you were growing up that you wanted to watch?
Oh, wow. I was a huge Carla Overbeck fan. Ooh. She was the ideal defender to watch growing up, and to this day, she's someone that I speak to and I ask her questions. I mean, she just had it all. She was just the epitome of a classy defender.
So you yourself, tell me about your major influences in the game, because your career is just, to me, is a model of consistency. Credible professional attitude, both on and off the field. I mean, it's something I think that every young women's female soccer player in this country would look up to. Where do your influences come from?
Oh, wow. Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, if you're speaking like soccer influences, I had a coach, Steve Swanson. He coached at the University of Virginia. He would make me watch film on the Italian men's back line, their national team. And so we're talking, you know, Cannavaro, we're talking Paolo Maldini. And so we would watch film, and he would say to me, like, you need to watch these guys. This is what you need to be able to do when you run a line. So as far as like soccer influences, as a mentor, but then for him to show me what like a world-class back line looked like and what world-class defenders look like, for me, that was huge to be able to see that and then try to emulate it.
U.S. Women's National Team defender Becky Sauerbrunn joining us. So when you watch a game today, do you watch it for specifics? In other words, positionally, do you watch people, or are you just watching sort of the overall general patterns of the game?
It depends. Sometimes I'm watching it just purely for entertainment. And then if there's a player that I really appreciate, like a Bonucci that plays on Juventus, like I will look at him and watch him positionally, what he's doing, what decisions he's making.
So if you were talking to youth players, which you do a lot, and by the way, that's the one thing we love about the U.S. Women's National Team is that you get out there with the youth. Do you talk to them about modeling and, you know, watching games and share these experiences that you've had that have helped to mold your playing career?
Oh, absolutely. And I think the youth today are so lucky that soccer, both men's and women's, is so readily accessible they're streaming through the TV. Like, so many more games are being shown now than they were when I was growing up. And so you have these professionals on TV, and a lot of them are also in your backyard playing soccer on the weekends, you know, professionally. So to have these people that they can look up to, I think, is huge. And so I'm always pushing for the youth, watch soccer, study soccer, be a student of the game, because the game is always changing. You have to be able to adapt to the game to really make a career out of it.
So I had the privilege of calling some of your games in this phase preparing for CONCACAF, and always enjoy calling your games. There was experimentation going on from Jill Ellis. In fact, you even were someone that positionally there was some experimentation. Talk about the process getting up to the CONCACAF tournament and how there was, this trying thing out sort of period, doing some things differently tactically and positionally and personnel-wise under Jill.
Sure. So after the Olympics, when we, crashed out early, Jill basically was like, we're hitting a reset button. And so it didn't matter who you were, how many years you've been on the national team. Everyone was at the same level at stage zero. And she was just going to do a full evaluation of all the player pool. And then she was also going to play with formations and tactics, like you said. And so for the last, 2 years or so, that's what you've seen. I mean, we've tried different formations. We've done a 3-4-3. We've done 5-4-1 in games. We've just played with all these formations and different people in different spots. And I think she really just got her kind of starting group right before the tournament. And I think because we had done so much of that experimentation and seen and struggled, that we came to this final group, and we just kind of gone through quite a bit before that, it kind of just really clicked. And I think people were building relationships at the right time. And I think this tournament fell at a perfect time for us in this kind of this cycle, this evaluation performance cycle, where the results that we always get good results, but it finally felt like our performances were matching the result. And going into a World Cup year, I think that's huge.
Is that uncomfortable for players? Because I know when I was moved positionally out of my comfort zone, sometimes I met it with resistance, which probably wasn't the thing to do. But thinking back now on it, when I'm listening to you, I did meet it with resistance. Would you see that sometimes from your teammates? And how did you guys support each other during that?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's hugely uncomfortable. I think people were left in a very uncertain spot. But I think it was actually intentional by our technical staff to see who kind of had the grit and the resiliency to deal with these, fastballs. And so I think the group that she kind of solidified near the end was the group that throughout all the trials and tribulations kind of held strong and kind of, showed up every day and controlled what they could control. And that's a hard thing as a professional. I think consistency is one of the toughest things to be.
Becky Sauerbrunn joining us. Okay, so I know your mom and dad, and your family, you had two brothers, which is, I'm doing my great research here, but brothers sometimes can have an influence and motivate sisters, right? And vice versa. Did that happen with you growing up in your family with your brothers?
Oh, yeah. I mean, my brothers are 8 years and 4 years older, so there's a pretty big age gap. And I mean, I would try to hang with them whenever they were, playing football or baseball. And I mean, they did not go easy on me. I was definitely a guinea pig for a lot of their pranks, and I credit them for just toughening me up. I mean, the hits that I can take, I think, go back to like just roughhousing in the house and things like that. They really put me through the ringer.
And Becky, by the way, also played at the University of Virginia, and as we all know, she is a World Cup winner and Olympic gold medalist. All right, so you guys cruised through CONCACAF. I mean, you just look so solid. You play Canada. I think you conceded one shot on goal in the game. Peaking and hitting the World Cup at the right stride, it's almost like you're going to have to hit a reset again, right? So after being so dominant in CONCACAF, what happens now the next couple months in the approach to what is the big dance?
So we're going to play an extremely hard schedule. We're going to try to get over to Europe and play a lot of European teams in preparation, kind of get used to being overseas and, just not the safety of home and the comfort of home. And I think that there are still roster spots that are open. We're going from a 20 woman qualification roster to a 23 woman roster for the World Cup. So we're going to be adding players, and a lot can change over the course of a few months. And so really for us, it's going to be, can we maintain the momentum that we've gotten so far and still reach new levels? Can we shore up the things that maybe we're not world-class quite at, you know, stuff like easy things like free kicks and defensive set plays and things like that that can actually win or lose games. You know, can we get those to be where, you know, we are allowing no goals, but then we're also scoring on the other end? So I think there's little parts of the game that for us we can always push to get better, and I think that'll be the focus for the next few months.
Yeah, that was great because you actually gave some reasons. So what are some of the things, if you look overall at the team right now, and then yourself personally, what are some of the areas that might come to mind that, look, you're always trying to improve on, which I know is all aspects of your game, but maybe some specifics?
As a team, I think where we can get the most improvement is when a team bunkers in and plays very defensive against us, is can we be quality in the final third where, you know, we can break down really tight defenses. And I think we have played a lot of teams that do that against us, both, you know, in CONCACAF and also around the world. So I think that's something that going into the World Cup, if teams are like, okay, let's not let the Americans, you know, score on us, that they will employ a tight defense. And so I think that we need to be more precise, and I think we need to have more variety in how we're able to score goals.
Becky Sauerbrunn joining us, remarkable career for the United States national team and all throughout all the professional leagues in the United States. I'm not sure exactly how many caps you have, but I know it's around 150. Aaron Heifetz will probably correct me. So if I'm off a little bit, don't hold it against me. But I just want to talk a little bit more about a couple of other topics here. And one of them is the Utah Royals, and you go into them. You spent a lot of time at FC Kansas City. You won a title there or titles there. Talk a little bit about the move to Utah now and what the soccer climate is like for the NWSL in Utah.
Yeah, I was very sad when FC Kansas City decided to fold. And so our roster got moved over to Salt Lake, and I had the, you know, decision to try to fight for somewhere else if I wanted to leave. But I think when I heard Laura Harvey was going to be the coach, and I found out it was in Salt Lake City, so it was going to be affiliated with Real Salt Lake, I was just excited to kind of be a part of something new and to grow something and to be there when, you know, you're building the culture and you're building the soccer philosophy. And it's a rare thing to be able to start from scratch with that. And so I kind of wanted to do that and be a part of that challenge. And it was a good first season. I mean, I couldn't ask for better support, better staff. I think the soccer, by the end, it was getting there. We didn't make playoffs, but we were right outside of it. So that was disappointing, but bright for the future. And I think the NWSL, it's an interesting league. You know, there are strong owners and then some owners that aren't as invested or don't have as deep of pockets. And so, you know, we're trying to expand to find more MLS or USL-affiliated organizations that have a built-in infrastructure. I think that could be really helpful for us. But the league has lasted this long, and it's lasted, you know, twice as long as any other women's pro league in this country. So I'm holding out hope that it's going to be here for many, many decades.
And without a question, I mean, I've talked to Jill Ellis about this. Without a question, this league has been a wonderful platform for identification for players that maybe would have not had the exposure.
Oh, yeah, very much so. It's to be able to play at that level day in and day out against some of the best national team and international players in the world. I mean, you quickly find out who can hang and who cannot hang. And so I think for Jill, it's wonderful to be able to spot new talent and to also see how your regulars are doing.
All right. I want to do a fun one. Tell my listeners, Becky, something different about you that maybe we don't know.
Ooh, something different about me. I love video games. I'm actually a huge Zelda fan, and I have played probably every single iteration of it and can spend hours of the day in front of the TV playing video games.
I retired after playing my 13-year-old nephew and getting destroyed, and that was the end of my video game career.
Oh, that's tragic. I'm sorry to hear that.
It was tragic, but I probably am better served doing other things in my case. All right. So when we see Jamaica qualify for this World Cup, I mean, that kind of touched my heart. First Caribbean nation to do it. Any thoughts on that coming out of this tournament, you guys being so dominant, but then seeing something like that happen to the country of Jamaica where, you know, this is more than just a soccer success. This is something that can open the doors potentially for women in Jamaica, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's fantastic. And I mean, it was hard to see regulars like Costa Rica and Mexico not qualify or get even out of their group. But to see Jamaica qualify outright and then to see Panama and knowing that they've got that playoff, it's just wonderful for these new countries. And for me, it just gives me hope that these federations will see their women and will invest more and so that they can get more out of their teams. I mean, Jamaica didn't have funding a couple years ago, and now they're going to their first ever World Cup. I mean, imagine where that team can go, some investment and some, you know, support. So I was thrilled for them. They were so excited when they qualified. We could hear them locker rooms down the hall just celebrating, and they deserve it. They did wonderful.
It's incredible. Last question for you, Becky Sauerbrunn, and then we're going to let you go. And thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. We really appreciate it. It's been a fun interview up to this. You know, we watch how you as national team members handle things, and I don't think there's any question. You have tremendous influence. When it is getting competitive to get a place, to go to these places that few people ever get to go, a World Cup, an Olympics, and it gets that competitive, as we know it does, how difficult is that? Because you all seem to handle the competitive nature of making squads and being starters in a very, very good way.
I'll tell you, it's a special team. I think we all realize that it's an honor to even be in the pool for the national team. And you're right, it is extremely hard when it gets to be, you know, World Cup time, Olympic time, and these roster numbers are very small. And that's just team dynamics for you. And it's the culture that was created, you know, eras before us, that you're competitive, but first and foremost, you're a good teammate. And so, yeah, you're going to fight every day for a spot on the team or for playing time. But what's more important is that you're cheering the people on that are on the field or, you know, that you're vying for a spot with. So it's something that I'm always, you know, pleasantly surprised by. Obviously, you know, people can get upset and frustrated. But at the end of the day, everyone on that field or on that team is a good teammate. And I think that's what's made us as good as we are. And has kept us as good as we are is that at the end of the day, we love each other and we want the best for one another. And we know that team success is way more important than individual success.
I just got a note from Aaron Heifetz. Officially, you have 147 caps.
So there we go.
That man is on top of it like you would not believe. And I know you know better than me. Listen, Becky, thank you for spending so much time with us. Sorry about that commercial break. Next time we'll time it better. We thank you very much. Congratulations on going to and qualifying for the next World Cup in France. And it's been a joy watching your career, and it'll continue to be a joy. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much.
All right, that's Becky Sauerbrunn. You name it, she's done it in the women's game and has done it with humility as well, which I think is something to be certainly reminded of. All right, we're going to take a break here. Another quick word here for the Texas Children's Hospital. Texas Children's Cancer and Hematology Center, largest pediatric cancer center in the country, over 190 physicians and scientists, 46 laboratories. They've got 200 active clinical trials ongoing, dedicated solely to childhood cancer and blood disorders. I absolutely love going down there. We hand out soccer balls. We visit with patients. They come from all walks of life, all over the world. As we know, pediatric cancer does not discriminate. And it's just amazing to see the bravery of families and children and then the support system that the Texas Children's Hospital provides. I get to see it up close and personal. And every time I go there, I get in my car and I drive away, and I'm just totally wowed by all aspects of it. Texas Children's Hospital is a not-for-profit that relies on generous donations from our friends in the community. A huge thank you to Texas Children's Hospital and their support of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Let's take a Bud Light break.
I hear this. You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Texas Children's Hospital. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Switch of play here. Joining in the attack, it's Escobar. Squares it back, swinging. Was Martinez shot the goal? Franco Escobar.
Mistake about this finish. A right-footed player all the way up as a right back gets his head up, pings it down.
I thought Cristiano is in a level where he doesn't need these questions and these answers. He's one of the best players of all times. And nobody can tell different than that. He's one of the best players of all times. It's as simple as that.
I know that I'm example. I know, 100%. In the pitch and outside the pitch. So, I'm always smile. I'm happy, man. I'm blessed that I play in a fantastic club. I have a fantastic family. I have 4 kids. I'm healthy. I have everything. So, the rest doesn't interfere on me. So, of course, I'm not going to lie on this situation. I'm very happy. My lawyers, they are confident, and of course I am too. So the most important that I enjoy the football, I enjoy my life. The rest, I have people who take care of my life, and of course the true always coming in the first position. So I'm good.
So you heard Franco Escobar there, the first goal for Atlanta United. They would go on to a 2-1 win in front of 70,000 plus at Mercedes-Benz Arena. I can't tell you what an experience that was, actually being there and calling a game there and just seeing it, feeling it, hearing it, smelling it, tasting it for myself. That call done with Brian Dunseth. By the way, that was the first time ever Atlanta United fielded a lineup without either Tito Villalba or Miguel Almiron in it. So that was a new grounds that Atlanta United manager Tata Martino went into, and all eyes are on Almiron and if he will be healthy, as well as Villalba, for upcoming games and the playoffs. That is a big one swirling around them. Then you heard from Jose Mourinho and Cristiano Ronaldo as well. So if you want to comment on any of those things, 713-780-3776. Also, we'll take a call on who was a player more than any other you wanted to watch growing up. We've had a number. Johan Cruyff, I said, Franz Beckenbauer, Jorge Campos. Travis Harshaw says, put him up to Carl Dukes, who will be one of our guests in the second hour. And then Jim Kirby says, best soccer is from Kearney, New Jersey. And his favorite player was Pelé. Jim, by the way, my youth coach, huge influence on me from Kearney, New Jersey as well, named Tom McDonald. Rest in peace, Tom McDonald, who just lit a fire under a lot of people when it came to the sport of soccer. Also a Kearney guy. All right. So 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776. Guillermo Barrascalota to Atlanta United. This is another rumor that's going around and a real possibility, I would think. They're saying if Tata Martino moves on, then Guillermo Barrascalota would come and be the manager at Atlanta United. And if Pity Martinez goes there, he's a River Plate player, you know, where it goes from there, the whole River Plate Boca thing, would be interesting. Who knows, but this is great conversation. And one, again, understands that top teams are always going to have people coming in for their players. I don't think there's any doubt to that. Zlatan, again, we mentioned the top-selling jersey in Major League Soccer. Coming up in this second hour, which is going to be coming up shortly, it's presented by the Daspit Law Firm. We have Carl Dukes, Eddie Robinson, and Dario Sala is going to take us inside Atlanta United. With that, we bring on Victor Ariza. All right, Victor's lined up a couple of key tweets here that he's picked out personally today. Let's start it off with number one.
Number one comes from Jonathan Tannenwald, journalist out of Philadelphia. This was yesterday. Two Philadelphia Union players after the game slammed the union front office for their decision to host a series of high school soccer games at their soccer specific stadium in Chester, Pennsylvania, in the midst of the whole playoff race. Bedoya saying, "We're a professional team getting ready for the playoffs, and the field is in terrible shape, and they're just going to mess it up even more."
Always an issue in Major League Soccer, and authenticity, that's something we got to pull for. But then again, on the other hand, we know these are multi-event type stadiums. On to number two, Victor.
Yeah, Paul Tenorio, who writes for The Athletic, had
By the way, I like Tannenwald too. He's the keeper. I call him the keeper.
Yeah, Tenorio had a article recently in The Athletic talking about the possibility of MLS clubs or MLS owners voting on taking away or reducing that third designated player spot. Co-tweeted a report of Pity Martinez going to Atlanta and says, "A reminder that if this is true, something other MLS owners want to limit by capping the third DP spot at $1.5 million. There is no reasonable justification for capping that spot other than to prevent teams like Atlanta United from spending at these levels on three DP players."
Step back. Bar raising. Let's reach for the bar that's being raised. Let's not lower the bar. Number three.
John Arnold up in Dallas.
I like John.
Quoted the Jamaica women's national team coach Hugh Menzies after their win. "I'm telling you, the amount of sacrifices we've made, the staff, the players for the country, we're going to change the culture back home. How they perceive women, it's changed." Tells you how much the clinching to the World Cup spot meant for Jamaica.
Wonderful for Jamaica, first Caribbean nation to go to the World Cup. By the way, we're going to get Hugh Menzies hopefully on the show next week. I know him from my days in player development and youth soccer. So congratulations to the reggae women.
That's right.
Number four.
Also, this one's from Bleacher Report, their football account, but I've also seen LAFC circle a lot of these photos. Will Ferrell, just like he was last week with the LAFC Dynamo game in the rain. Again, this week with the LAFC supporters leading them in chants. Just nice to see.
Yeah, and you know what? The whole celebrity thing, that's a part and parcel of it all. I mean, Atlanta's got the whole hip-hop community involved in it. They've had all kinds of celebrities down there as well. What are we on, number five?
Yeah, one's from today, earlier today, from Alexi Lalas, a friend of the program.
Do I know Alexi? Who's that guy?
He said, "It's no fun when Arsenal are this good. Hashtag thanks, Emery."
Well, guess what? Unai Emery's getting it done. 3-1 winners today over Leicester. The second half was sparkling football. Now the question is, can they produce that against the top four teams in the Premier League? So
yeah,
those are great tweets. I like the cross section you picked out, Victor.
Yeah. By the way, Arsenal, 10 straight wins in all competitions. Yeah. Got to give it to them.
Well, they're going to have to do it against some of the bigger teams now. But you know what? For all those who wanted the retention of the former French manager, and you know who I'm talking about, well, guess what? Maybe things are moving on. Change is good sometimes. All right, I think that's going to do it for this first hour. We got about a minute left here. Victor, thank you very much. Those were great tweets and lead to some good conversation as well. First hour, we want to thank Becky Sauerbrunn for coming on the show and that long interview, which was wonderful. Dynamo again in action this weekend. We have the Real Madrid-Barcelona Clásico, which this could cost Lopetegui his job. First Clásico in a while without Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi. There's no doubt about that. Messi out with a broken arm after scoring two goals, so he's going to be out for a while. Chelsea 2, Manchester United 2. The late goal from Chelsea earning the point at Stamford Bridge, the assistant coach. It's unprofessional, no doubt. So that's what you got this weekend. That was the drama game, and more to come in the Premier League this weekend. First hour, Texas Children's Hospital, thank you very much for being the largest pediatric cancer center in the country. Over 190 physicians and scientists, 46 labs, and 200 active clinical trials. Texas Children's Hospital, thank you very much for your support and being the presenting sponsors of hour number one of Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.